Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be along with you on the afternoon drive. And I've been looking forward to today's show all week. We're going to be joined by Fred Clare. If you don't recognize the name, let me give you some background. Fred Clare was an executive for the Los Angeles Dodgers from 1969 to 1998, and he was also the general manager of the team from 1987 to 1998. He helped construct the 1988 World Series championship team. He'll be joining us for a couple of segments. We'll talk about some of the deals that went down while he was the general manager of the Dodgers. I mean, there's some big names that went in and came out. Remember, the Dodgers signed Daryl Strawberry as a free agent in 1990. They traded Pedro Martinez before he became a breakout star with the Montreal Expos. And they also moved on from Mike Piazza. And that Piazza deal is absolutely tied to Fred Clare's history with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I'm really looking forward to the conversation. If you're a Dodger fan especially, but if you love the game of baseball and you want to hear the inside workings of it, I think we're going to have a terrific show. Plus, we'll talk about the second part of Clare's life. He was diagnosed with skin cancer back in 2015, and now he's been fighting that over the last few years. So again, I think we're going to have a very interesting conversation. Fred Clare, former Dodger general manager, will join us in just a moment. Really, it's been a very quiet day for the national sports scene. A lot of abstract conversations being had all the way around. So I'm thrilled to be bringing in a former baseball executive. We're going to get rolling with that in just a few moments. We'll pause. We'll give you the local sports update. And again, when we return, we'll be joined by former Dodger general manager Fred Clare right here on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios.
But the game right now is at the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone! In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
That's Vin Scully's epic call as Kurt Gibson sends the Dodgers to a Game 1 victory in the 1988 World Series with a pinch-hit walk-off home run. The Dodgers would then go on to defeat the A's in 5 games, and to date, that was the last time that the Dodgers were World Series champions. The architect behind that team was Fred Clare. He served in numerous roles for the Dodgers, but he took over as general manager in 1987, and he held that position until 1998. Years later, Fred Clare would enter another battle as he was diagnosed with skin cancer in 2015. His journey from the field of baseball and through his fight against cancer has now been penned into a book. It's called Extra Innings, Fred Clare's Journey to City of Hope and Finding a World Championship Team. It's penned by Tim Madigan. We'll talk about the release of this book, which is set for July, with the man himself. Fred Clare, former Dodgers general manager, joining us right now over the phone. And Fred, I'm thrilled to get you on the show today. I'm really looking forward to the conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Jordan, good to be with you.
I'm looking forward to the conversation, and I know we can talk about your career in baseball, but before we get rolling with that, we have to talk about your new book. It's called Extra Innings, Fred Clare's Journey to City of Hope and Finding a World Championship Team. I know it's available right now for pre-order. It's actually going to be shipped out in July, but there's something a little extra special attached with this book, especially if you use the avenue of a pre-order.
Well, the price is $24.95 for the book, and yes, you can pre-order now. And the other thing that's very special about it, Jordan, and thanks for asking, is that all net proceeds from the book go to the City of Hope, and I've been a patient at the City of Hope during the last 4 years while undergoing cancer treatment, two surgeries. But during the time that I've been there, I've just seen the remarkable work that City Hope does for so many patients, for so many people, so many families. And I just, from the outset, seeing the work that they did, wanted to become a supporter of City Hope, and have been the last few years. We had two successful golf tournaments, celebrity golf tournaments, that provided $500,000 for the City of Hope. And it's been very rewarding to see that, with a lot of support from so many old friends from my days in baseball and my other involvement. So it's been a very satisfying journey to see the work that we've been able to do and the rewards that we've been able to get City of Hope.
We'll talk more about City of Hope and your latest journey with City of Hope here in just a bit, but I want to give the listeners a background on you, Fred, and what you've meant to the game of baseball, especially the Los Angeles Dodgers organization. I think you have one of the most fascinating stories, and for those who are unaware, your journey actually begins with baseball as a beat writer for the Long Beach Press-Telegram, correct?
That's right. That was my first really close association to baseball, or daily association, but Jordan, my love for the game goes back to the time that as a kid that I saw my first game at Crosley Field in Cincinnati. So saying Crosley Field dates it in itself, but I've really been a follower of the game. I would say from the age of 10 or 11, I mean, I can well remember, for example, the 1948 World Series, which certainly dates me, but my memory is there is because my brother and I had a little business in Ohio of trapping muskrats and raised enough money to buy the 1948 World Series film. So I have a long love and passion for the game of baseball that ultimately led me to the Dodgers.
Which is fascinating because you're a fan as a kid and you grow up loving the game of baseball. You become a beat writer following the Dodgers and the Angels. And it was around 1969 that you actually became a member of the Dodgers organization. Is that correct?
That is correct. I was started the 1969 season covering the Dodgers for the Long Beach newspaper. And in 1969 was offered the position of director of publicity. So that was the day that I started. I know the date very well because it was the date, of course, that man first walked on the moon. So that date is etched in my memory for a number of reasons. And that started my journey with the Dodgers. And then in 1975, was promoted to Vice President of Public Relations and Promotions. And then in 1981, was appointed executive vice president, and then ultimately to the position of executive vice president and general manager at the start of the 1987 season.
That's really where I want to begin this conversation about baseball, because it's such a fascinating year. In fact, the last time the Dodgers won a World Series, 1988, you were the guy that helped construct that team. And that 1987, those winter meetings, first off, that entire story is just fascinating to me. When Peter O'Malley offers you this gig, someone that was a beat writer 19 years earlier, and you've worked your way up, you took this position, and this was not a good Dodger team. I mean, they had lost, what, 90 games the previous two seasons?
We finished in, I took over in 1987 after three games in Houston. We had finished 16 games under 500 in 1986, and then were to finish 16 games under in 1987. We made a number of moves, and then, of course, in 1988, with the contributions of many, many people, we won the World Series championship. So that was a very, certainly memorable time. important time, and certainly an important time in Dodger history.
There's no question about it. And during that, but before that season, you made a number of moves that really transformed that Dodger team into that World Series champion. And there's one trade in particular, Fred, that I've always wondered how it came about. There's a three-team deal that struck in 1987. The Dodgers trade Bob Welch and Matt Young. They go to Oakland. Jack Savage goes to the Mets. Oakland A's are going to send Alfredo Griffin along with Jay Howell, who played a huge role with this Dodger team, and the Mets send Jesse Orosco to L.A. So it's a three-team deal. And what's always fascinated me about this is the Dodgers beat the Mets in seven games and the Dodgers beat the A's in five to win the World Series. So this three-team deal that was constructed in 1987 was really kind of an appetizer for what was to come postseason time.
Well, Jordan, your history of the Dodgers and that trade is certainly right on target, because when you mention the name of Jack Savage, you mentioned a key component that few have touched upon. But the key to that trade is after the 1987 season, and keep in mind, again, we finished 16 games under 500. In my mind, we had three glaring weaknesses, three spots that had to be filled if we were going to be a contending team. We absolutely had to have a shortstop, and we also needed to have a closer. You could not be a championship game, a championship team, without a good shortstop, an outstanding shortstop, and without a closer. And so the three-team trade, as you mentioned, was with the Mets and the Oakland A's, and we were, as our receiving part of the trade, we received shortstop Alfredo Griffin from the A's, tremendous defensive shortstop, tremendous leader on the team. We received Jay Howell from the A's, who was our closer and did a tremendous job in 1988 and after that. And then from the Mets, we received Jesse Orosco from the Mets for the left-handed relief pitcher. But part of that, and part of that deal, it was Jack Savage, who you mentioned, and a name probably a few people know, who went to the Mets. But I remember that in the meeting that I was having with our people, one of the people in the meeting said, "Fred, you know, Jack Savage is rated one of our top young right-handed pitchers." And I recalled in my mind, in the 87 season, I'd spent time with the scout from Cincinnati, Carl Lowenstein, who I had great respect for, because when I would go into a city, I would always visit with our scouts in that area. And I remember Carl's report on Jack, that he really didn't feel that he would be a significant major league pitcher. And I remember saying, "Hey, look, we've got a three-team trade here that's going to fill a lot of our needs. With all due respect to Jack Savage, we're not going to let him stand in the way." So the deal, Bobby Welch was a great pitcher, a wonderful man, someone that I had great respect for. But in any trade, you have to give up value to get value. And, of course, that trade proved to be pivotal in our season.
There was another trade that was in the works, and I know it just worked out okay for the Dodgers, that you didn't have to trade for Kirk Gibson. And obviously, if we go back to 1988, it's one of the most memorable, one of the most epic and historical highlights. Kirk Gibson going yard with Mike Davis on second base after drawing a two-out walk right off Dennis Eckersley to win Game 1 of the World Series. Kirk Gibson becomes a key member of that offseason, and you didn't have to trade for Kirk Gibson.
Didn't have to trade. Actually, again, Jordan, your history is very good, because at the winter meetings in 87, I tried to trade for Kirk Gibson. I had long, extensive talks with Bill LaJoy, a wonderful man who was the general manager of the Detroit Tigers. I had great reports on Kirk. His record spoke for itself. But again, one of our scouts, Dale McReynolds, had seen Kirk from college through his career, and was so high on what Kirk could bring to a team. And so we tried to make the trade of Pedro Guerrero for Kirk Gibson at the winter meetings in 87. But baseball and Major League Baseball was under the cloud of a collusion case, and it was in question as to what the status of Kirk would be. Would he become a free agent? What would be the ramifications related to a trade? So the trade didn't take place, but when the 1988 began and Kirk was declared a free agent, he became my number one priority that we needed to bring Kirk to the Dodgers if we were going to have a championship team.
You definitely made a number of different moves. Rick Dempsey, Mickey Hatcher, we talked about Kirk Gibson, we talked about the three-team deal. Going back to that historical 1988 season, Fred, at what point in time did you sit back and say, okay, this is a team that can win the World Series?
Well, it evolved, and it really evolved from, as history has noted, from the first day of spring training, first spring training game at the Holman Stadium in Vero Beach, when Jesse Orozco, as noted, who we had acquired in the trade, thought he would play a little trick on Kirk and put shoe black in Kirk's hat. And when Kirk went out to run before the game at Holman Stadium and his cap flew off and the fans began to point to Kirk in his face and Kirk reached up and found shoe black on his forehead, he was not a happy camper. So that evolved, and in the book, Tim Madigan covers this in great detail in interviews with Kirk and others. But as far as that season, Kirk set the tone, certainly, in terms of what he was all about, what was critical to him as far as being part of a team. And he has some wonderful quotes in this book that I think the fans will really enjoy, because this is coming directly from Kirk to the writer Tim Madigan. And then as the season started and as we saw how this team was coming together, two other people who were very important that we acquired late in the 87 season in my first significant trade, John Shelby coming from the Orioles and at the beginning of 87, having a good season for us and carrying that over to 88. And the same was true of Tim Belcher, who we had acquired late in 87, who got off to a great start in 88. But as this team was coming together, and it takes time, you had the mixture of the addition of so many players, of Shelby, of Kirk, of Hatcher, of Dempsey, of Howe, of Griffin, of Orozco, blending with Mike Socian, Steve Sachs, and Mike Marshall, and certainly Oral Hershiser. But it was almost a case of an evolution that month by month, April, May, June, something's happening here. We're not only winning. You could see and feel in the clubhouse, and the fans could see this team was truly coming together. And by the time that we got to September with Oral on a pitching performance role that was historic, breaking Don Drysdale's record, and moving then into the postseason, we knew and felt that we had a chance to do something of great significance.
Again, we're being joined right now by Fred Clair, former Los Angeles Dodgers general manager. I want to continue the conversation. Fred has agreed to hang around with us for another segment. When we return, we're going to talk about analytics in baseball. I know it seems like a new term. It seems like it's the new flashy way the game is moving. But analytics played a factor in the Dodgers 1988 World Series championship. I want to talk about that. Plus, we'll talk about some of the other moves that Fred made as general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. More coming up with Fred Clair here on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. We're going to continue our conversation with former Los Angeles Dodger general manager Fred Clair. And Fred, before we went to the commercial break, we were talking about the 1988 World Series championship team. And I know the word analytics seems new. It seems like it's still fresh in the world of baseball, but it's actually not. And if we point back to the three-team deal, you acquired a player by the name of Alfredo Griffin, who played shortstop. Wasn't great in the batter's box, batted something like 199, 198 for the season, but he was really, really important to this team defensively in the middle infield. I'm curious as to how much of a role analytics played for you during your time as general manager, and your thoughts on that fine line between analytics and being a baseball mind in today's game.
That's a very good question, and I'll give you, you mentioned Alfredo, and I'll give you the example of how much scouting played more than analytics at the general manager meetings in 1987 in Florida. I was having discussions with Sandy Alderson of Oakland, a good friend, great friend, and of course to be ultimately involved in this three-team trade. And Alfredo was one of the guys who I really wanted to be a part of this deal, because we absolutely had to have a reliable shortstop. And so in 87th general manager meeting in Florida, Sandy and I, as we did quite often at meetings, went for a run in the late afternoon before dinner time, and we got lost. And when we came back, I was to meet our great scout, Reggie Otero, sorry. I was to meet our scout, Reggie, who was lived in Florida. And because I wanted to talk to him, he had signed Alfredo when Alfredo was a very young player for Cleveland. And so when we came in, Sandy and I, sweating like you can't believe, and here's the image of Reggie Otero standing there in a beautiful Florida light sport jacket, looking wonderful. And I said, Reggie, I'm so sorry that we got lost. He said, Fred, no problem. Reggie and I then met for dinner. And again, now you have, as a general manager, you're making the decision. I said, I explained what the potential trade with Reggie, what Alfredo I felt could mean to us, but we were going to have to give up a great pitcher, Bobby Welch. And I'll never forget Reggie's words. He said, Fred, I make that trade. And I mention that story because of the contribution of the scout. And scouts never get the contributions they deserve. Because when the 1988 World Series ended, Reggie Otero turned off his television, went to bed, and passed away that evening.
Wow.
Never had the chance to wake up and to see that championship after celebration. But two things. I always put a high, high value on scouts. That being said, I really was a strong advocate of information. And I hired, and there's information on the web. I didn't call attention to it, but I hired one of the first analytical people, Craig Wright, who now lives in Montana, Helena, Montana, who was really one of the first and kind of a protege of Bill James. So I was very much into information and relied greatly on Craig in the early years. And later I've been involved with a wonderful analytics company, Scoutables, started by Ari Kaplan, my partner in forming the company, and Ari was one of the forerunners. So there's never been a reason for a debate. Is it analytics versus scouting? That's the wrong approach. The approach you need to take is, where do you get the best information? And you have to rely on all information sources and then use all of it together to make ultimately the decisions you're going to make. So I'm a big, big believer in analytics. But I am a huge believer in scouting. Those are the two elements that are going to determine the course of your team.
I have to ask you about a couple of deals that were made with the Dodgers in the 90s. I remember being a kid and in the fall of 1990 being thrilled that Daryl Strawberry was going to be a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And again, this is just a couple of years removed from a World Series championship, a five-year deal worth roughly $20 million, if memory serves me right. Looked like it was a stellar deal at the time. I know it never panned out, but from a general manager standpoint, to grab a guy like Daryl Strawberry at that particular time, I'm curious as to how that came together and what your thought process was in acquiring a talent like Strawberry.
Well, Daryl's talent at that time, in that year, if you simply look at him and you evaluate him, again, from an analytics or statistical standpoint, you would rate Daryl. The record is there to speak for itself. One of the great young hitters, power hitters in the game. And at that same time, I had made a trade for Eric Davis. Now, here's Daryl Strawberry and Eric Davis in the prime of their careers, both coming from South Central Los Angeles. And in between them, for the center fielder, we placed in a signing that I made, as you know, Brett Butler. And I remember when this happened in the spring, I met with a general, well-known general manager, Joe Klein, later to be the president of the Atlantic League, longtime baseball man, great, highly respected. And he said, "Fred, I have to tell you something." He said, "When you signed Daryl and traded for Eric," he said, I said to the people around me, "They're going to fly a world championship banner in Los Angeles." And I really felt that we had the opportunity to do something significant. And it wasn't based on the fact that Daryl and Eric were from South Central L.A., a very difficult area, as we know, as history shows, in Los Angeles, and what they could mean to the Los Angeles community. I didn't make the trades for signing for that reason. But I really felt that we had given two young men the opportunity to be a huge part of Dodger history. And Jordan, as you know, and as history shows, that didn't work out anywhere near what I saw as the potential. And Daryl struggled with the temptation, again, as the records show. And it's good to see that today that he has his life on a much better path. So it was a time with a lot of excitement, but as we know, it's what follows the trades and the signings that makes the difference. And with Daryl and Eric again, it didn't fulfill the hopes that I had, or I'm sure that the Dodger fans had.
No, and it does take me to the next question I was going to ask you, because you did trade Pedro Martinez. Now, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a second baseman just like Delino DeShields, and this is who you acquired in the Pedro Martinez deal. I know that Delino DeShields only played a very short period of time with the Dodgers, 2 to 3 seasons, but when you make this trade for Pedro Martinez, this is a guy that was very small in stature. Of course, you had his brother Ramon Martinez, and I remember at the time, that was the guy, right? Dodger fans loved Ramon Martinez. But you add Delino DeShields to a lineup that features a Mike Piazza, Eric Caro, Jose Offerman, Brett Butler, Raul Mondesi. I mean, it was an exciting team. The trade historically didn't age well, but I'm curious as to the reasoning behind the Pedro Martinez for Delino DeShields deal at that particular time.
Well, the trade did not age well, to say the least, because Pedro, who was a tremendous, tremendous human being and individual and friend, went on, of course, to the Hall of Fame. One of the things, and again, this isn't the reason for the trade, but I can remember that when the trade was made, I guess I should have known I was in a little trouble, because all the writers thought it was a great trade. And so the applause was a little too great because of how it ultimately turned out. But I was trying to fill a hole that we had in second base. And actually had made an effort to sign Robbie Thompson, the Giants and made an all-out effort to try to sign Robbie. Ultimately, the Giants signed him and let Will Clark go. Pedro, if you look at Pedro's record, I don't know if he ever started a game for the Dodgers. That's not a point, but the year before we traded him, he had been very successful in relief. There were concerns about Pedro. He was small. There were concerns physically about his arm, and a lot of people have noted because it became a matter in the press that Dr. Job, a wonderful man, dear friend, had expressed some concerns and of Pedro's, the longevity for Pedro. But that was not the reason that I made the trade. And Frank, when the criticism really started to fall roll in, and this shows who Dr. Job was, he said, Fred, he said, you know, you take so much criticism. You never mentioned the fact that I raised questions about the longevity of Pedro. And I said, Frank, let me tell you something. You're one of the great orthopedic surgeons of all time. Your evaluation had nothing to do with that trade. I made that trade because I thought that trade could help our team. And so that, Jordan, belongs totally with me. I listened, as I always did, to our baseball people and our scouts. But I'll tell you something about Pedro. And again, you won't find this in the statistics. You got a better chance of finding the scouting report. Pedro had the heart of a giant, and the intelligence to go with it. So it was a it proved to be a terrible trade. And I have always respected the Lino, and I know that he's now has a career as a manager. I think he's a wonderful guy, but it was just a bottom line, Jordan. You have to live with the trades you make, and I've never been one to do anything other than to take responsibility for the trades that I've made.
Fred, I know that we'd agreed to two segments, but I still have a few other questions I would like to get to. Do you have time to hang around with us for one more segment?
You bet. Whatever you need.
Excellent. Thank you. More coming up with Fred Clair, former Los Angeles Dodger general manager. When we return, we'll talk about one of the biggest trades in Dodger history, and it didn't sit well with the fan base. When the Dodgers moved on from Mike Piazza, sending him to the Florida Marlins, we'll talk about that and more when we return. Again, joined right now by former Dodger general manager Fred Clair, right here on Drive Time Sports.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Welcome back into Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, continuing our conversation right now with former Los Angeles Dodger general manager Fred Clair. And Fred, before we went to that last commercial break, I mentioned a trade that went down in 1998 that didn't necessarily sit well with Dodger fans. Mike Piazza was moved to the Florida Marlins in exchange for Gary Sheffield, Charles Johnson, and Bobby Bonilla. This was a deal that was made while you were the general manager, but you have been adamant over the years you didn't trade Mike Piazza.
No, that was the last thing that I wanted to do, and whereas I take responsibility for the trades that I made, I don't take responsibility for the trades I didn't make. And that was historic and ultimately led to the end of my Dodger career, because when the Fox people traded Piazza and basically came to me and said, Fred, we want you to say you made this trade, I said, you got the wrong guy. You're dealing with the wrong guy. If you think that I'm going to not be candid and honest with the media and the fans, that's not going to happen here. And so I let it be known how the trade came about. A Fox executive negotiating for TV rights for the Florida Marlins. And the Marlins were saddled with these contracts of Gary Sheffield and Bobby Bonilla. And so the Fox executive, unbeknownst to me, makes the trade. It was a terrible trade. It was a terrible trade. Mike Piazza was to be a Hall of Fame player, was a tremendous catcher, tremendous force. And but I described that trade as I describe every trade, exactly, precisely, how it took place and a very unfortunate time in Dodger history, because the day that I took the job that with the Dodgers general manager, I said in so many words, the buck stops here. Not to say how much authority I had. The fans have a right to know. The media has a right to know who's responsible, who's in charge. Yeah, I've never been in the finger-pointing business. That doesn't resonate with me. And but that was a very unfortunate trade and a very important sad chapter, because Mike should be in the Hall of Fame wearing a Dodger cap.
No, there's no question. And if memory serves me right, Todd Zeal actually went with Mike Piazza as well, correct, in that deal?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And Todd was someone who wanted to be a Dodger, who actually, when I signed Todd, took less money to be a Dodger. And I felt so bad for both Mike and for Todd to be a part of that when they shouldn't have been, because both of them could have been significant contributors to the Dodgers for a number of years.
When you've had the success that you had in a general manager role, you win a World Series championship, here you have a franchise player that is beloved by Dodger fans all over the country, and you get word that he has been dealt, and it had nothing to do with you. You weren't involved in that trade at all. Can you describe what that's like for someone in your position, Fred?
Well, I'll never forget the phone call that came from Bob Graziano, then the Dodger president, who, as far as I know, had been told by Fox that this deal had been made. So then Bob called me and said that needs to be announced tonight. He called me during the course of the game. And I said, well, Bob, then there will be two announcements tonight, because after I announce the trade, I'll announce my resignation. Because what's happened here, you don't need a general manager when somebody doesn't have the position or the responsibility is making a trade. This should never happen. This is terrible for a franchise. This is terrible for everyone involved. And then, before an announcement could be made that night, I got a call. I went back to my office at Dodger Stadium, as I had many times, and I got a call from Derek Hall, now the president of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and at the time our a publicity person. And Derek said, well, Fred, the trade can't be made. Sheffield has a no-trade contract. And I said, of course Sheffield has a no-trade contract. Everybody in authority in baseball in baseball knows that. I wasn't going to leave the Dodgers at that time in such a mess, because the trade had to be resolved. It was a terrible, chaotic time. But ultimately, the trade was resolved, and it was really a very unfortunate chapter. And then later in the 1998 season, when I told how the trade came about, Fox wasn't happy with that. Then I got notice that I was going to be fired, and that Tommy would replace me as the general manager. So that was the end of my time with the Dodgers. And I think that Tim Madigan does a wonderful job in talking to the people involved in terms of this part of Dodger history.
Again, Fred Clair, our guest right now. Fred, we have to jump ahead in your life, and we have to go to 2015, right? Because this is a very important year in the book, Extra Innings, Fred Clair's journey to the City of Hope and finding a world championship team. And this is where the City of Hope comes into place. This is where you're diagnosed with skin cancer, and it really begins your battle over the last 4 years.
And thank you for raising that, because it's all for me been a point of awareness. Because what happened in 2015, I had a little spot on my lip for many, many days in the sun, as many baseball people do, had what's known, as you probably know, the Mohs procedure, where the doctor removed the spot. Seemed to be very innocent, seemed to be no problem. The Mohs procedure, very easy, very quick. Unfortunately, the doctor didn't get the cancer. Then in 2016, when I began to experience this incredible pain in my face, in my jaw, and after many MRIs and exams, it was determined that the spot on my lip, not having been treated properly, that had tumor had moved up into my jawbone. So in July of, not in July, in the fall of 2016, I underwent an operation where they removed the cancer by surgery from my jawbone, hollowed out my jawbone. And then I went through 33 radiations, 7 chemos. Looked like I was coming back strong in 2017. Lo and behold, the cancer went to my neck. And I raise all this simply from the point of cancer awareness and the with the wonderful work of the City of Hope, because at that time, then, they placed me on immunotherapy. And it was immunotherapy, really, that has me here today, that saved my life. But the last chapter of all of this with City of Hope, now maybe not the last chapter, but the most recent significant chapter, is that in July of last year, because of all the cancer treatment, because of the radiation, because of all the other treatment, and because of my jawbone being hollowed out, my jawbone was had been destroyed. And so July 31 last year, they had the surgery that they had really suggested the first time this happened, but I didn't feel right to me. Three doctors in an 8-hour surgery took the fibula bone from my left leg and replaced my jawbone. So that was major surgery, but I feel very blessed today, and the reason that I want to call attention to the great work of City of Hope is because of the work that they do, not certainly just for Fred, but for so many patients and all that they do to help patients. And this is a very trying time for cancer patients, Jordan, as you can imagine, where family and guests can't even come to give their support because of all the precautions. But the City of Hope sets an example for a tremendous medical staff. And what could be more important to us today, to us as a country, but to salute the true heroes of our life journey, of all of our life journeys, than to salute the doctors and nurses and staff at the incredible medical facilities throughout the country, throughout the world. And so I'm just so pleased that the publisher and City of Hope worked out an arrangement to make this book a possibility. So for all who want to learn about a great medical center and have stories of baseball, not just my story, the stories of other people involved in the game, they can find that in Extra Innings by Tim Madigan on Amazon, with pre-order sales now and funding to a place that certainly is dear to the hearts of me and my family and my wife, Cheryl, the City of Hope.
City of Hope, and again, the book, it's called Extra Innings. You can pre-order that right now at Amazon. Fred Clare, I have totally enjoyed the conversation. I thank you so much for hanging with us for as long as you did. It was thoroughly enjoyable.
Jordan, you have a great background in the game, and I respect the knowledge that you showed in your questions, and want to wish say to you and your audience and to all the listeners, stay safe. We will get through this. We are much better than this. We will be better than this. And the best to all.
Again, that's Fred Clare, former general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. What a show. A full hour conversation with Fred Clare. Definitely appreciative of his time. It's not every day you get a former general manager on Drive Time Sports, and you can dissect certain teams that were built, certain deals that went down. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. And again, do not forget about the book, Extra Innings, Fred Claire's Journey to City of Hope and Finding a World Championship Team. Pre-order sales are available right now, and all the net proceeds will go to City of Hope. With that being said, we are out of time. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. It's Drive Time Sports from the Auto Forum Studios. Be safe. I am out.